I want to see if they can smell ugly or cheap. That's what I want to know. You should put a pad under a guy's arm and take him to a store where nothing's on sale.
Right.
And then have women smell that. That's what I want to know. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Katie is going to jump right in and perform the Discount Celebrity.
Yes.
Discount Celebrity is a segment where times are still tough, not just for us, not just for you listeners, but also for Hollywood producers, casting people, directors. And we want to give people options. When you cannot afford your A-list celebrity, you just don't have the money, sometimes you got to go with Billy Zane.
Yeah.
And we're giving you options here. So Katie's going to give us the Discount Celebrity for the week.
Well, you know, after the Oscars, who was the top actor in Hollywood? It's Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis. He's clearly
the A-lister.
We're going to give him an A+.
Yeah, he is. He's always been. He is known for his method acting. He stays in character.
Mm-hmm. He's still in character.
We can't shake it.
Yeah.
And that's what
he's still trying to free my people.
Yeah.
He's going to
free you if you beat him.
He's going to heal a nation.
Yeah. So, yes, Daniel Day-Lewis. He's 54 years old. He is 6'1.5".
Wow.
1.87 meters.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
He's born April 29th, 1957 in London, England.
What?
Yeah.
I thought he was Irish.
I'll get to that.
Forsooth.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
His birth name is Daniel Michael Blake Day-Lewis.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yes.
And his last name is hyphenated. I didn't realize it before. It's Day-Lewis is his last name. It's not Daniel Day-Lewis. It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
The second child of Cecil Day-Lewis.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, and his second wife, Jill Balkin.
Yeah. I've never had a name fancy enough that I needed to just stick another name on it.
Yeah.
I'll change this name. I don't care.
Either or. Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel about those. It's either Day or Lewis. I don't know.
But I feel like if you have if Forbes was a part of my name and I got married to someone who had a different last name, I would still keep that Forbes.
Yeah.
Sotmari, who cares? No one cares. Anyway, so Daniel Day-Lewis.
His first adult role, he had a bit part in Gandhi in 1982.
As what?
Bit part, just tiny.
As a random Indian?
Yeah, I don't know what it doesn't say. Just say a bit part.
Bit part. He walked by.
His first major supporting role was in The Bounty, then My Beautiful Laundrette.
Oh, I remember that.
Have you seen that? No, I have never seen it.
It's a great movie by Stephen Frears. It's a British film. It's a realistic movie. A lot of people haven't seen it, but I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Yes. He was also in A Room with the View. That was another big one, 1985.
I love that movie. I don't remember him.
Yeah.
He's too busy looking at the view, I guess.
Yeah, in 87, he was in The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by a comedic role in the unsuccessful Stars and Bars.
Never heard of it.
No, that's right. Unsuccessful.
It's Ishtar.
And then he does a brilliant performance in My Left Foot.
Mm-hmm.
And he won an Academy Award for Best Actor in that one.
Did you see that movie?
No, I didn't. I didn't see a lot of these.
I couldn't watch it.
No?
I was upset by the idea.
Oh, the idea. Yeah, that's another reason why I didn't watch it. He was in Last of the Mohicans, Age of Innocence, and The Name of the Father.
So he's a period piece guy.
He is... he was in The Crucible. I mean, really, he's heavy duty.
So light, light fun. Adam Sandler fair.
Right.
Great sense of humor.
Yeah, that's right. Adam Sandler's his discount. Yeah. If you can't get Daniel Day-Lewis,
use Adam Sandler.
Get Adam Sandler in there.
You can do it.
Yeah. And which is so interesting because of his method that he does, where he gets into the part and stays in character. It's like that's a lot to take home with you.
Why?
That's how he works.
It's interesting because there are some actors who are like, what film is this? And they just come on the screen and do a beautiful job, and then they go home and eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
And there are other people. This guy started being Lincoln like 3 years ago.
Yeah. He's married to Rebecca Miller.
He's probably still afraid he's going to get shot at the theater. He probably doesn't want to go to a theater anymore.
Right? He's like, I don't even want to go to get my award.
He's probably very benevolent, though, towards black people. Like, you should be free. We're like, yeah, we should. We should.
He has two children, and his trademarks are his in-depth and exhaustive preparation. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird that we all need to know about that.
But it's intense. I mean, I think people will go to see him more because he works so hard.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that you just are like, partying or, you know, you're shopping at Bloomingdale's.
Or Colin Farrell, so I'll just suck it in and do the take. I kind of like that, too.
You know, he works hard for his money.
Okay.
He collaborates frequently with Jim Sheridan and Martin Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
He has skills with accents. What?
He got mad skills, son.
Yeah. His characters are often deeply unsympathetic.
I want to see him play a black person, though, if he gets so into character.
Right. And then hail a cab, right?
Yes, yes.
Sorry.
Go to a job interview with a screwed up name at the top of his resume. Deal with that. Get that character going.
He's known for his rich dramatic voice,
mm-hmm.
dramatic emotional performances.
I gotta be honest, if he walked in here right now, I wouldn't know who he was.
And he's also for his hoop earrings. He's known for those.
I didn't. Did you know him for that? Okay. Any tats?
No.
No.
How could he?
I don't know. That's right. Well, look, if he plays a character that has tattoos, then he'll have tattoos.
He is the son-in-law of playwright Arthur Miller.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He turned down the role of Aragorn, that Strider, in Lord of the Rings.
Why?
I don't know. He did, but he turned
probably
down a
lot
of
because he couldn't actually become the character.
Oh, right, because it was a...
It's a fantasy.
It's a fantasy, yeah. Right. He's a skilled woodworker.
Of course.
And he's also is able to make his living as a cobbler. Shoes.
Shoes. Footwear. What do you mean he's able? Like, so if this doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Like, after Lincoln, if this doesn't work out, he's back to shoemaking.
And a shelf to put them on.
Yeah, you got to have things to fall back on.
He listened to Eminem to get in an angry, self-righteous frame of mind to play Bill the Butcher in Shooting Gangs of New York.
Nice.
Okay.
That pretty much describes Eminem for me.
He's always quiet and introverted. He said he was not popular in school and was mocked as an outsider while growing up in England.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because he was half Jewish and half Irish.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The upside was he was, instead of socializing, he developed a rich fantasy life.
Okay. So he looked inward.
Yeah.
And never came back out.
He was considered for the role of Jesus Christ in The Passion of the Christ, but Mel Gibson thought he looked too European.
He's Jewish. How could you not look more like Christ than to be Jewish? Is he out of his mind?
I know.
Who did he cast instead?
Jim Caviezel.
All right.
Yeah.
Too Jewish.
he tried to get the part. He wanted the part of Vincent in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I can see that.
And then Quentin Tarantino was like, no, I have John Travolta in mind.
Yeah, a much finer performer.
In Solaris, he turned down that role, too. That went to George Clooney.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep. And what movie was that? Solaris?
It was awful.
Wow.
Why did you want that?
That's the Event Horizon of
films. Oh, my God. It was terrible.
What a nightmare. I personally feel bad about that movie, just thinking about it.
He turned down a role in Terminator Salvation.
Christian Bale got it?
I don't know. It says a role. It didn't say Christian Bale's role. Some role.
What other role would they have offered him besides
Christian
Bale? He turned
down the lead role in Mary Riley. He turned down the role of Jor-El in Superman, Man of Steel.
Okay.
God. Turned down everything.
Kevin
and he still
DeCline.
Yes, Kevin DeCline.
Can you see him doing a movie? Like, I can't even believe they would offer him a movie like Terminator Salvation.
Turned down the role of Simon Templar in The Saint. Turned down the lead role in The English Patient. He's not acting more than he is acting.
Yeah.
And he still gets awards.
Well, he gets to pick and choose.
And he is Polish. And, hey.
Hey, shout out to your peeps.
And Latvian Jewish on his mother's side.
Okay. On Earth? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of love. There's a lot of mixing going on there.
Yeah, some of his quotes is, if I weren't allowed this outlet, there wouldn't be a place for me in society. Sure, there wouldn't be making shoes.
Yeah, man, we need shoes. Whatever.
That bothers me when people are like, I don't know what I would do if I'm an actor. We can find something.
Yeah, you get a job
don't
like everybody else.
There's 5% of working actors out of, 100%. So 95% find something else to do. Don't tell me the five that make it to the top would never have anything else to do.
Oh, you know what? I always need somebody to bust my table.
Yeah. You'll find something.
Yeah. There wouldn't be a... If we weren't doing podcasting, there wouldn't be a place for... We'd be in juvie.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Right? I'd crawl up
we'd
into
be
a
Debs
ball.
In jail.
And die. And he says another quote. There's a quality of wildness that exists in Ireland that coincides with utter solitude. Doesn't...
I don't know what that means. Fine.
He says, Laurence Olivier might have been a much better actor on film if he hadn't such a flippant attitude.
You tell him. Because really, you hold a candle to him. Sit down somewhere, please. Have a seat.
He can tell him. He can. He's won 2 Academy
Awards.
Come
on. Daniel, you know who else? You know who else won an Academy Award? Halle Berry.
Yeah. She still doesn't. Well, she can
Cuba
tell
Cuba Gooding Jr.
can also tell
Laurence
Olivier.
He's not about
off.
To tell Laurence Olivier where to go.
The thing that Konstantin Stanislavski lays out is how you do the thing the first time, every time. 1,000 times.
I read that in the book.
Ugh.
Yeah. I know. He's a method actor, though.
He considered himself abandoning England.
Okay. Did they care? Did they ask him?
But were they like, considers England his country.
Shut the door on the way out.
Yeah. Take your foot
you
with you.
You thieving.
Your left foot with
you.
Most of the movies that I do are leading me toward a life that is utterly mysterious to me.
Fame? This guy has been famous since...
No, the movies that, like, he said, my chief goal is to find a way to make that life meaningful to other people. Again, he's like very...
Acting.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but at the same time, I enjoy Jason Statham. So he takes me to another place. I haven't seen many of your movies, sir.
Yeah, he said about Abraham Lincoln and his role on playing him. The minute you begin to approach him, there are vast corridors that have been carved out that lead you to an understanding of that man's life, both through the great riches of his own writing and all the contemporary accounts and biographies.
So can't he just say, like, I did my research and learned a lot about the guy?
He feels immediately and surprisingly accessible. I felt he draws you close to him. I never felt drawn close to Lincoln.
Me either. He was kind of a weirdo.
He was tall.
I thought he was trying to get people away from him.
Yeah. You don't want it when you're so tall. You can't, like,
you can't,
yeah.
Did you see the movie?
Not yet.
Okay.
And he said, I never ever felt a depth of love for another human being that I ever met. That is, I think probably the effect Lincoln has had on most people that take the time to discover him.
Huh?
I wish he had stayed with me forever.
All right, this is getting weird. This is getting real weird, people. And hey, you know
it's
studio.
And I'll end it on this one for him. It says, it occurred to me it was an actor that murdered Abraham Lincoln, and therefore somehow it is only fitting that every now and again an actor tries to bring him back to life.
And scene. Wow, talk about pretentious.
Yeah, but... He does his job, and he works very hard at it. And he is the A-lister.
All right, so who is his discount? I hope his discount is a little more humble.
His discount is Gabriel Byrne.
All right, sell it.
All right, date of birth, May 12th, 1950, Dublin, Ireland.
Okay, a young man.
His birth name is Gabriel James Byrne, height 5'10", which is 1.78 meters.
Okay.
He's the first of 6 children born in Dublin. His mother was his father was a copper and his mother a hospital worker.
A copper.
Okay. A copper.
A copper.
He was a copper.
A copper. A flatfoot.
He was raised Catholic and educated at the Irish Christian Brothers. He spent 5 years of his childhood training in the seminary to be a Catholic priest.
Wow. You know, I had a lot of friends who thought they were going to be priests and then did a little bit of training. None of them made it.
No.
I mean, they were devoted to the religion. And it, you know, it seemed like a something for them that they wanted to do. And then they realized they wanted to be with women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like it has to be, like, you have to have a calling.
Yeah.
And he realized he didn't have a calling. And he goes, I don't believe in God.
Oh, Lord. Wow. He did get a call of some kind. Yeah. Like a wake-up call.
So he went to college in Dublin, and he studied archaeology and linguistics and became proficient in Irish. He played football, which is soccer, to you and me. And then he, what did he do?
That's fascinating. I tried to teach myself Gaelic for a while. It's a beautiful language.
Mm.
Very hard to find a teacher, even in New York.
He discovered his acting ability as a young child, or young adult.
He didn't know about it.
He's a child, he didn't know.
He had no idea he could
and then
he act
was
like a
adult.
Mofo.
Yeah.
He's like, look at me. Hamlet is nothing.
And including, he was an archaeologist, a cook, a bullfighter. Yeah, you heard it.
He was a matador.
Bullfighter.
A bullfighter.
And a Spanish school teacher.
Wow.
And began acting when he was 29.
I know he's not the A-lister, but this is much more interesting.
Yeah. Well, you've seen him in the HBO series, In Treatment.
I love In Treatment. And let me just say, he doesn't have to do method because he's lived.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, In Treatment is amazing. When I was out in San Francisco, I had like a day off from my job, corporate work or whatever. Mm-hmm. I watched the whole series, and one day he is incredible.
Yeah, yeah, he
is. And attractive. Who knew?
Yeah, he appeared in King Lear as Lerner and Lo's Camelot. He didn't even come to America until he was 37.
Didn't need to.
And then in 88, he married Ellen Barkin.
Really?
Yeah.
And then they got divorced?
Amicably.
Okay. That's what it says.
Yeah. And he lives in Brooklyn, New York.
Sweet. See, he's a regular friggin' guy. And yeah, go Gabriel Byrne.
He's the UNICEF Ireland ambassador.
Nice. Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor.
He went from a priest in Stigmata to Satan in The End of Days the same year. Those two different movies in the same year.
Did I see Stigmata?
I probably can't remember.
I probably did.
1999.
Probably, yeah. That sounds like something I would have done.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you know, when he was separated from Ellen Barkin in 1993, they didn't divorce till 99.
Wow. What? He wasn't sure. Hey, she's a sweet POA is what he was thinking. Ellen Barkin.
Yeah, he's still not a U.S. citizen. He has his Irish citizenship.
Doesn't need it.
Speaking Gaelic.
Mm-hmm. See, a real Irishman.
Yeah.
Top of the
and
morning.
And his personal quotes. I would like to break out of this dark brooding image because I'm actually not like that at all.
And he plays that a lot, though. Yeah. And I think that's a stereotype or maybe typecasting for a lot of Irish actors is that they fall into that kind of dark brooding look. Yeah. Colin Farrell, he's always scowling.
Right. And he says in Ireland, brooding is a term we use for hens. A brooding hen is supposed to lay eggs. Every time someone says he's dark and brooding, I think he's about to lay an egg.
I like it. But in the case of Daniel Day-Lewis, he actually is about to lay an egg.
Right. Oh, no. No, Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't lay eggs.
He has someone else lay them for him.
Let's see. He did a play by Eugene O'Neill called A Touch of the Poet.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the theater was packed with wealthy white-haired people. After the curtain call, I turned to one of the actors and said, "Theater is dead."
Nice. I like him. Wealthy white-haired people.
He's like, there's no one under 60 out there, and they're wink, all wink. White. Oh. And they can afford $300 a night.
That's so sad. That's how I feel when I go to the opera. I went one time, and there was an older white couple sitting next to me, and they're like, it's so nice to see a young person here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, if you think I'm a young person, this is over.
Well.
If you listen closely during opera, you can hear people dying. Like, it's that old of a crowd. It's sad. Yeah.
Snap.
Someone slumped over. My hip is what you hear.
And on dealing with depression, he says a single negative thought begins in your head. That single negative thought interacts with other negative thoughts and becomes a reality. And the world seems like the darkest, bleakest, blackest place that you can possibly be.
Wow.
It has nothing to do with logic, nothing to do with reality. It's chemical.
Nice.
People.
Yeah. Get truth. A little up.
And supposedly, ultimately becomes a spiritual imbalance in the body and the mind, but it feels like the truth. That's what's so insidious about it.
So he's battling with depression.
Yeah. So
I'm glad he's talking about it, though. Yeah. That's nice. Daniel Day-Lewis have any thoughts? No?
No. Okay. And then here's another quote. On being beaten in school, especially in math, I feared being beaten. I was beaten very regularly. It did affect my sense of self. I didn't feel that I suffered at the time. It felt it's just the way of the world.
Physically beaten.
Yeah, physically beaten. It took many years to come to terms and to forgive those incidents that I felt had deeply hurt me.
Wow.
In touch.
Yes.
With feelings.
Doesn't need a method because he's lived. He's felt.
All right. And here we go.
Can get his head through a narrow door, can wear a regular hat.
Unfortunately, I experienced some sexual abuse. It was a known admitted fact of life amongst us that there was a particular man and you didn't want to be left in the dressing room with him. There were certain boundaries, sexual boundaries, that were crossed.
Wow.
I will punch that guy in the neck.
I have
Gabriel
to say,
Byrne. I will fight anybody who put a hand on you.
He is a brave person for talking about these issues.
No kidding.
I like it.
I like him a lot.
I do, too. Too bad he's not the A-lister.
I know.
So.
He was in Stigmata, End of Days, Ghost Ship, Vanity Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional Arithmetic. Never saw that.
Never saw that.
All Things to All Men. A Moon for the Misbegotten. Exonerated. Mm-hmm. A Touch of the Poet. Camelot.
Wow.
That's off Broadway.
Okay. So he's done a lot of stage work.
He's got a lot of Tonys, all of that. Tony for Best Performance by Leading Actor in a Play.
Now, see, this is giving me more on the discount aspect of it because he's doing stage work.
Doing stage work, and he's done a lot of TV.
And he's won a lot of awards for his stage work.
Right.
And he's done a lot of serious plays.
Right. And he's in the HBO show In Treatment.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So what, clearly he's not the A-lister. What is his discount?
Just because there is so much heat on Daniel Day-Lewis at this point in time.
And he'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
He can't wait.
I say that, it's 25% off.
No, I'll go with that. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I like Gabriel Byrne a lot, and I've seen a lot more of his work.
Yeah.
I don't know Daniel Day-Lewis that well, but since I've come to know him in the past 10, 15 minutes, I don't really like him that much. So I'll go with you 25%. Okay. I like it.
All right.
Hopefully he won't fall victim to the Oscar curse. Or in the case of for Gabriel Byrne, maybe he will.
Yeah.
We'll actually get
yeah,
to see
right.
some
and
Gabriel
we'll get
Byrne.
Some Gabriel Byrne.
Very nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Excellent. That's excellent discount celebrity. I got some Jason Bateman news.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, this is the week in Jason Bateman. Now, Jason Bateman is a decent actor, and we don't love him, and we're not sexually attracted to him at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
But he's decent, and we'll report on him weekly.
Yeah, and we actually have a piece of news. This is from the LA Times, February 23rd. And Jason Bateman has purchased Ernest Borgnine's estate.
No, he did not.
Yeah. So Ernest Borgnine died last year. He was 95 years old. He's remembered for his Oscar-winning performance in Marty in 1955, but I think most people know him for McHale's Navy.
Yes.
Which was on from 1962 to 65, which is interesting because that was always on when I was a child. I didn't know that it was reruns from the past. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a current show. And then I had no idea. I thought it was just a show about the past, and it was happening in the 80s, He was also the voice of Mermaid Man on SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, get out.
Which is funny because I've seen that show and I was like, that voice sounds really familiar. So Ernest Borgnine passed away. His estate came onto the market and it was priced at $3.3 million. But Jason Bateman, that son of a gun, got it for three. Yep. He knocked the $0.395 million off and he got it for $3 million. He
no
and his
kidding.
Wife are living in the estate of Ernest Borgnine, and it's called in the Beverly Crest area of L.A. I guess that's nice. And it's interesting because Jason Bateman is a big star, right?
Yeah.
He's bought a place for $3 million in New York City. People are buying places all the time for $3
million.
Yeah. That's so weird to me.
Isn't it? And he's getting much more house
yeah.
than you would get for
so
anything.
It's
here,
a half acre, and it's a 6,000-square-foot house. So there's probably just a strip of grass around the house.
A half acre?
A half acre.
That's it?
That's it.
Then what's around him? That's like Staten Island. That's what happens
yes.
there.
Yes. 6,000 square feet of house with a staircase, a library, an office, a den, 6 bedrooms and 7 baths, a guest house, and a swimming pool.
Where's the guest house?
I don't know.
It can't be on that property. How can you fit the house on the
It's just a very
acre?
Thin guest house toward the back. I have no idea
what
on a half
it?
Acre.
And where? What is it against?
Maybe it's a very tall house.
But what's surrounding it? That's the thing. Is
a blade of grass. It's just like a thin strip of grass.
It's got to be like protective wildlife around.
Tiny.
It's got to like some kind of...
You know, we'll Google it and see. But I bet you it's just like...
Like a reserve. It has to be around. Like
it's L.A., so it's probably just everyone's half acre shoved up against everyone else's half acre. How weird is that?
Oh,
I mean,
so
this
weird.
Is a major celebrity, people. Surely he would have more than a half acre.
God.
Something's up.
What is up?
That's weird. My mom has like 4 acres. Okay, it's not in Beverly Hills, but like a half acre?
I grew up on one full acre.
Yes. Yes.
What's up with that, baby?
I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to do something on the cheapy cheap.
Well, maybe he's just like, it's Ernest Borgnine. I have to do it.
I got to get it. So that's our Week in Bateman news, that Jason Bateman buys Ernest Borgnine's estate. What's
Jeez.
His wife? Amanda Anka. Yeah, I thought they were doing better.
Me too.
Who knows?
Isn't this helping Bateman? Aren't
yeah.
we helping you out at all?
I don't know. I guess he's not listening. And that's our Week in Bateman.
Very nice.
I have another interesting thing here. This is just a bit of news.
Mm-hmm.
It says, women can smell a wimp.
Yeah.
So apparently,
oh, really? Okay.
The smell of perspiration released by men when they're afraid or repulsed, when women smell it, they fear this. They have the same feelings. I don't know why they're trying to figure this out. I mean, it's quite obvious to me with the little bit I know about biology and evolution that we've evolved the ability to smell fear.
Yeah.
And other, I mean, that's how we survive.
Yeah.
So if you're sweating and it's because of fear and I'm nearby, you shouldn't have to say anything to me.
Right.
I could pick up on it, right? But no, scientists have to go out and find out about it.
Okay.
So what they did in the experiment was they had men watch The Shining.
Okay.
And when it got scary, they started to sweat.
Hits.
Yeah. they dabbed at them with like a piece of cloth. And then they let women smell it.
Ew.
And women also got scared.
Ew.
But they noticed when
I'd
men
be scared if anyone yes. wanted me to smell a cloth.
They also had men watch Jackass.
Okay.
And when something disgusting happened and they started to sweat, they dabbed that sweat
okay.
and had women smell it. And the women were also
disgusted
as well.
Are you sure they weren't just disgusted?
That's
from
what
smelling?
I'm saying. Are you sure they weren't just afraid that someone stank?
Well, what about,
and disgusted that someone smelled awful?
What about then? How about them getting like turned on or like really happy or watching a comedy?
They only did it to see if we could smell fear or disgust.
Well,
and the best part of this little piece here is that the person who led the study's name was Dr. Gunn Seaman from Utrecht University. He said these findings are important because they contradict the common assumption that human communication occurs exclusively through language and visual cues. Who thinks that?
Nobody does.
We use everything to communicate with each other.
And also,
bad breath communicates that you just don't give an F. You know?
But also, I mean, like, have you ever been, like, wondering, like, you're in a room with somebody and you're afraid? It's like, oh, God.
Well, wait, isn't the smell of fear like a phrase that people use all that they can smell, animals can smell fear?
Kids know.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that. But it says here they took pads and put them under the men's armpits while they watched either The Shining and Jackass. They chopped them up. They put them in a little bottle and they had the women sniff them.
I wonder what kind of guys these were.
I don't know. I want to see if they can smell ugly. Or cheap. That's what I want to know. You should put a pad under a guy's arm and take him to a store where nothing's on sale.
Right.
Then have women smell that. That's what I want to know. If I can smell someone who's going to be trying to skimp on things that they should be paying for.
Yeah, it's like this one guy was telling me how they like to go downtown to the bars that all the traders from Wall Street.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
They go down there.
I wish I'd known about that when I was younger.
I know, right?
Right.
Hey. And all the traders, they're really generous with their money. They pay and pay and pay for drinks. Like, if they want to talk to you, they'll buy drinks for you and your friends and everybody else. And then all the other guys kind of sidle up and watch it happen and wait for a few rounds of drinks to go by.
And they scoop in.
And then they scoop in trying to
and grab the women.
And this is a thing that they do.
They're picking, I mean, cheap.
And some guy's telling me this. I'm like, just don't even talk to me again.
Yeah.
If that's what you know me.
They're picking up somebody else's.
Yeah.
So these guys, these traders are just buying drinks. And obviously they're not trying to, like, take the ladies home. Otherwise these other guys.
Well, they're going to take home whoever they can. But they're boozing up all these women.
So everybody's getting
and
loaded.
And showing them, like, I am a provider by giving you drinks and anyone else who comes along, by the way. And I'm not even breaking a sweat.
So can we go down there and be like, I'm with her?
Yeah, right.
What's up with a Cosmo?
That's right. We should. We should just, like, hang out the perimeter of these
But then we're
going
to be prey for those guys who are like, eh.
Yeah, but we can answer
They've been here for a while. So it says, when women sniff fear, then they started scanning the room with their eyes. Right? That's the response to
But the door?
When they when we smell disgust, we wrinkle our nose and lower our eyebrows, which would help to limit the smell of noxious chemicals. Yeah, closing up your nose.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is what they've discovered is that women can smell fear and disgust on a man.
Good Lord.
I'm telling you, they need to find out other things. Can you smell infidelity?
Right.
You know?
I don't think it's under the arm.
Can you smell? Can you smell somebody who's lazy and won't take out the garbage? That's what I want to know.
Can you smell somebody who is...
just a dick.
A dick.
You know? Can you smell someone who's just a dick? You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. So we're really excited to have the lovely Marcy Currier back again for another tarot card reading.
That's
She's a tarot card reader, an intuitive consultant, and an energy healer. And she is our resident tarot card reader, intuitive consultant, and energy healer. We're not going to have any other ones. She's it.
Woo!
Welcome to the show.
Yes, I feel honored. Thank you.
So the vernal equinox.
Okay, so the vernal equinox means it's springtime.
Yes, thank goodness, finally. Yes.
And we're here.
When they hear this, they'll think we're here. So, yeah,
that's
phew.
Right.
Thank
yeah.
goodness Ooh. Spring is here.
So, yeah, and this is a great time. We remember that, like, all is not lost. There's hope.
We beat the winter doldrums with the last one. We made it.
So good job, everybody.
Yay.
Trucking along, making your way through, and here we are. So let's just get some sort of insight about that. What can we take and what to do with this? Because what we find is we have little surges of energy. There's a little bit more excitement. There's a little bit more animation to the things that we're doing. The, you know, there's a pep to our step.
And nice.
Okay. I thought you would like
that. I know, yeah.
Okay. See what
So this
cards,
is, for, again, for our
all
listeners.
The listeners.
All the Hey You Know It listeners, including us, too, because we listen to the show.
Anyone with an earshot is welcome to benefit from this reading.
Right. Perfect. Okay. All right. So here we go. Do we have for the springtime, the vernal equinox?
Good grief.
Great. It's the Eight of Wands, which just says, look, it's happening. We're in the middle of the transition.
It's on.
We're on our way. It's coming. And, like, you can kind of look back over the winter and remember how you felt and be like, you know what? I totally forgot that it was going to stop being winter. That happens to me all the time. Does that happen to you guys where it's like...
It's a shock every season, yeah.
And you're like, oh, did I used to wear shorts?
Yes.
Yes.
Did
yes.
that, like...
And then you're angry that there's weather.
Oh, I take it so personally. Yeah. I feel like it's out... It's
well,
like,
in New York, people curse.
Yeah.
These people running down the street cursing.
Yes.
Because it's cold or because it's hot or there's air.
Like... So, yeah, and it's funny. The cards and I are being pretty funny because there's this sense of, like, get over yourselves, people. Like, that's the feeling I'm getting from these cards. Like,
move on.
Where it's like, yeah, like, it's one day. The vernal equinox is one day, and it's part of a cycle, and the cycle has been going on and on and on and on since, like, the beginning of time, literally, like,
well, this is like the year cards that you pulled that are, you know, to be easy.
Yeah.
Right? Get out of your head. So this is all falling into place.
Let it happen. Yeah. Sit back and relax.
Let it ride.
Tonight's the night.
2013.
You guys are amazing. This is why you do what you do. I can tell.
We can't do anything else.
So yeah, just roll with it. Go with the flow and learn.
Oh, there's that Ace of Swords again.
Marcy just pulled a card and it's an Ace of Swords and we've seen it before and it's like, what?
If you've been
like
following along.
It's the official card of the Hey You Know It, which it should be.
Ace of Swords.
The Hey You Know It podcast. Well, the Ace of Swords is the card of insight. So like one, if we wanted to say like what card would most just embody the phrase, hey, you know it, it would be this.
This would be it.
Nice.
So you guys, the official card for the Hey You Know It podcast is
awesome.
Ace of Swords.
We got a shot glass, a card.
It's wonderful.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I like it.
You can use this time to kind of get a handle on the rest of the time. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Oh, the rest of the time, meaning what's
like,
upcoming?
So if it's springtime, you can kind of compare your springtime to your winter, to your summer, to your fall.
Okay.
And get, like, sort of orienting yourself in space.
Nice. Okay.
But in time instead.
Or time in relative dimensions in space.
Yeah, and here you are. And it's all happening, and we're doing it.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah,
I like
me too. Lot.
Thanks very much.
So keep on going with the flow. I mean, lots of going with the flow, too.
Yeah.
I feel like you must have some really cool listeners who know how to take it easy.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from those really cool listeners. You can always email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com if you'd like to say anything to us or say anything to Marcy.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe if you have a question for Marcy, why don't you email us?
That'd be awesome.
Email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com and you can get your question answered.
Yeah. And get a shot glass.
That's
to toast it with.
We take care of you guys.
We try to.
Well, thank you very much, Marcy. That was
so
fantastic.
Much. It was awesome.
I love being here with you ladies. Thank you.
So, the lovely Marcy Currier. How can people get in touch with you?
Best thing to do is send me an email, Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, at metamarcy.com, M-E-T-A-M-A-R-C-Y.com. You can check out my website, www.metamarcy.com. You can find me on Facebook, again, MetaMarcy21, facebook.com/MetaMarcy21. You can check out my Tumblr. I like to post a lot of, whenever I find an inspiring quote, I usually throw it up on my Tumblr. So if you want to go look at a bunch of inspiring quotes, you can check out www.MetaMarcy.tumblr.com. So you can find me all those ways. And if you
fantastic.
Just Google MetaMarcy.
Yeah.
All
you come up because nobody, there's only one Metamarcy.
That
just
is
like
true.
There's only one, hey, you know it.
That is true.
That's right.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you.
No problem. It was awesome.
This article, just the headline.
The headline alone is what we're going to go on.
Big Belgian boar hunt, a hilarious flop.
I heard something about this.
Yeah, there was, Belgians went on a boar hunt and it first looked like no contest. 200 hunters and 170 wild boars.
Wait, really? That's a lot. The ratio is high.
Yeah, 200 hunters to 170 boars.
Okay.
Okay. And in the end, only one boar was slain.
Hey.
The boars won, the hunters lost.
How did this happen? These are the worst hunters imaginable?
They had the hunt because there was an explosive increase in boar population, and it damaged the farms and the woods and all of that.
But somehow only killing 170 of them would just take care of it.
Yeah, I guess.
Like...
But this is why the population exploded.
Because they can't shoot.
Nobody can kill them.
Yeah. They're impervious.
In a coordinated swoop, the hunters sought to drive the boars together so the marksmen in high positions could shoot them, but that didn't work either. It didn't even work. They couldn't even, like, get a sniper to,
are these,
like,
the worst hunters on Earth?
Yeah. You know, it says, and then they say, sounds like Florida's disappointing python hunt.
There was a python hunt the same week?
Yeah. In Florida, they had a python challenge. It says, final tally in Florida python hunt. This is a separate article, too.
Okay.
68.
68 pythons were hunted.
After 1,600 hunters combed the Everglades in a month-long state sanctions. Sanctioned slaughter.
All they got was 68 damn snakes.
Yeah, because pythons, they can reach 18 feet.
Yeah.
They only got 68.
Really?
Out of tens of thousands that are out
there. These guys suck.
But you could go out there for days and not see a python, they say.
Clearly. But if there's 1,000 people and that's all they're doing for a month and they could only scrub up a mere 68 pythons?
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know what? Python and boar and cockroaches, those are going to be the only things left.
I know.
We'll be gone.
The top hunter got 6 pythons and he won $1,500.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad. Who are these other guys?
Oh, no. That was the top amateur. And okay. The professional got 18.
Okay.
Okay. But the thing is that I looked at the comments and it's like the same people commented on both articles. They both like are looking for things like this.
Animal hunts. So they have an alert for exotic animal hunts.
Yeah, so about the boars, it's like zero for president, says American pigs with their usual stupid means predictable comments, glorifying death and violence.
What?
NDAA death camps await you, pigs. Ha, ha, ha.
Are they talking about the boars or the hunters?
This is the...
Sorry. I mistook. I was like, they have a real beef with these pigs.
Yeah. American pigs with your stupid comments. And then someone else, Finkster, says, I'm certain that dinosaurs thought they'd eat all these pesky small rodents to extinction as well.
What? This is like Nerdapalooza. I'm really surprised that they couldn't. I mean, if you want to kill a bunch of boars, why not just herd them all into one place and
then
shoot them?
That's what they did.
But they still couldn't hit them.
Couldn't do it.
Good Lord. Maybe they need to bring in some hounds or something.
Yeah. So, that's why assault rifles are needed. It says no left turn.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly why.
It says no left turn.
Yes. That's exactly why.
And people suck say the hunt was a bore.
Doing our work for us. Thank you very much.
Right. Fractal says, someday I hope somehow I enjoy the boars winning, especially since the hunters had guns. Imagine what the hunt would look like if humans had used knives instead. And then someone else says, yeah, without guns, they do it the old-fashioned way. Dig traps, wait till a boar falls in, then spear it.
Yep.
The boar bleeds out. They use a bow and arrow, maybe a horse to chase the boar and stab it with a spear. What would you prefer? Duh.
Really? Just rattling that off like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And so they're saying it, but the same people are now commenting on now the python
Well, that's
hunt.
The audience for the python and the boar hunt is the same people.
Yeah, this is, it was, so about the python hunt. It was ridiculous from the start. Does anyone have any idea how big the Everglades is? It's laughable. Introduce another species into the Everglades that eats python eggs.
For example?
Birds do, actually, they say. But the pythons are eating the birds.
Nice. Using the eggs as bait, no doubt.
And they're even eating alligators.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that huge of a problem. Are these native pythons? We have no idea.
No. These are pythons that people are getting as pets. They're pets. They're exotic animals from other countries, and they're pets, and then they don't want them anymore. They get too big, and they let them go in the Everglades. It's a huge problem.
How many people are getting these things?
Lots, and they're breeding.
Obviously.
In the wildlife.
And they have no natural predator.
Right, and so they're destroying the whole ecosystem down there.
You know what?
They need to be gotten rid of.
This makes me very happy because while I love animals, I do love me a python shoe and bag combo.
Yeah.
This is how we need to take care
of
it.
This is what's happening.
If they will simply unleash a couple phalanxes of fashionistas on this, if the fashion audience got this, there wouldn't be any fucking pythons down there.
Right.
It would be
over. If we put them on the runway.
Same thing with boar.
Oh, they'd find those.
They would find those pythons. If people knew that they could, you know, charge thousands and thousands of dollars for a shoe made out of one of those bad boys, it would be over. Same thing with the boars.
That's
make it into
do.
A purse.
That's how we get them.
Put a string on it.
That's it.
Either that or put it on the menu.
So this guy, Zero for President, who wants to comment now on the pythons.
He's back again.
He says, nobody complained about stupid American freedoms and let those morons import these snakes to begin with. Sick materialist America. That is always someone where it's always someone else's fault. The NDAA death camps await you all, and Homeland Security is buying 1.6 billion rounds of death for you this fiscal year.
What?
4 bullets for every American moron. So this guy is like...
Wait, he should be happy that the python are getting loose and he hates Americans so much and the death camps.
And then Rob says, you say the same thing in every thread. We heard you. Move along now.
Oh! Really? Burn.
It's the same group of people.
I just find that interesting. Weird to me is that there's really nothing to say about any of these things. Like, they're not worth commenting on.
Yeah. They're going back and they're taken out of their other emotions. On it, but they're the same people commenting on these on different articles, different days.
Did you find these articles? Because, I mean, you share the interest with these people. Or did you find out about one from the other?
I don't know. I this was a while ago. I pulled it up.
I really do love python skin bags.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And now we're performing a public service by purchasing them.
Right.
I think that
we should just, somebody in fashion that's listening.
Yeah. Get on it. We want American Python.
That's right.
It's probably a TV show.
American Python.
Oh, speaking of which, I got something here.
What you have?
This is for a segment that we call Reality TV Roundup. Now, I don't watch reality TV, but I love to read about it, and there are endless amounts of shows that are on. So I find an interesting show, and then I present it to you. I'm probably not going to watch it, but I'll tell you a little bit about it anyway. This one's called Duck Dynasty.
Oh, okay.
And the reason it came to my...
Hearing about this. What is going on?
The reason it came to my attention is because Morrissey, who I like,
yeah.
is going to...
The singer.
Was supposed to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Found out that these dudes from Duck Dynasty were going to be on there and said that morally he could not be on the same show.
What?
So he had to reschedule him because he refused to be on...
Why? What does he have against Duck Dynasty?
It's reality TV.
All right.
And he just doesn't like it. And he won't be on a show where there's reality TV. So Duck Dynasty is a reality TV show about some self, they call themselves redneck. So some redneck millionaires who make duck calls,
mm-hmm.
like the little whistles that
the
you
use. The whistles, and that's how they made their millions?
Yes, that is exactly how they made their millions. So a former college quarterback from Monroe, Louisiana, Robertson gave up a coaching career for his love of duck hunting when he discovered he could whittle a better duck call than anyone. A move that eventually made him millions and earned his family their own reality TV show.
God.
So he started off making these things, and he was trying to sell them to Walmart, and they were like, get out of here. We're not going to buy them from you. And he was like, hey, man, Colonel Sanders started with one chicken, and that's good chicken, man. So his first year, he only made $8,000. They were broke as a joke. And then eventually it started to catch on, and now it's a multi-million dollar business.
Fair enough.
So they've decided that for some reason, now I don't know what the hook is for this,
mm-hmm.
but they decided that they should have their own reality TV show on A&E. Do you remember when A&E used to show, like, BBC stuff?
Arts and Entertainment. It was supposed to be a highbrow channel.
Yep. So Arts and Entertainment. Now it's just, I guess, rednecks and crazy-ass people. So Duck Dynasty, it's going to be on Wednesdays at 10. And that's what the show is about. I have no idea what they're going to be portraying. They actually made their own show back in the 80s where it was just a bunch of rednecks shooting ducks.
Uh-huh.
So they claim that they were in reality TV way before it happened.
Well,
I think I've actually remember seeing those videos. I'm from a rural area myself.
I never saw it.
About a bunch of rednecks shooting ducks? So this is their second, it says soiree in the television, but I think they mean foray.
Foray, I think so.
Second soiree.
They put a fancy party into television.
This is their second soiree into television.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
And they say that it's not just about rednecks and duck calls. They have a bigger message they're going to portray. They're saying that they're a brood that stays together and enjoys each other's companies. And they say, now obviously they haven't watched a lot of reality TV, but they're saying, I've seen enough train wrecks on these shows. It'll be nice to see a family that sits down and has a meal together. That ain't ratings, my friend.
Not at all.
We want to see rednecks going at a wild style.
We want
raw.
This sabotaged duck whistle.
Yeah.
The whole production is shut down.
Everything goes wrong.
Because it sounds like a goose rather than a duck call. Wow.
Yeah. So
it's like, no.
They're saying in the end, Duck Dynasty is all about love, family, and putting family first. Are you still awake over there?
What?
Yes. Can you imagine? It's so funny to me that the people are always trying to make a classy reality TV show. And nobody wants to see that. You know who else has a TV show? Nelson Mandela's granddaughters.
Yeah.
And people in South Africa are not happy about it at all.
Being Mandela.
I thought it was going to be about his legacy and the suffering that he went through to bring his nation out of that struggle. No, it's going to be about some weave harpies running around South Africa with an ass load of money.
Weave harpies?
Yes. Okay. With a lot of money, showing them, you know, here's what I got from having a famous grandfather.
Yeah.
Great. Weird, huh?
That's really weird.
And they're going to be showing it here.
Yeah. And nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. That's the thing.
But
the
here's my thing.
The people that watch these
are not going to have any idea
are
who Mandela
be like, Mandela
is.
Mandela, what?
I just think it's strange that they're not, they just want to show, hey, we're a normal family. I'm like, no, you're not a normal family. You have this amazing person in your family.
Yeah.
You guys are not really doing anything with civil rights or government. So what's the TV show going to be about? Shoes and weaves. Bizarre, huh?
Well, maybe they can redeem themselves by bringing in Python. Shoes
and boars.
And then everybody will go and hunt them in the Everglades.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
I saw this article on CNN. It says, don't recall sending that message. Maybe you're asleep texting.
Oh, Lord.
So.
Really? Now I got to worry about this?
Yeah, this is the new thing that apparently.
I can barely text properly while I'm awake. You've gotten some of my texts.
Yeah,
they're not always on point.
Well, that's it's something about being tired or like, you know, punchy or something like that.
But this is
but they're
asleep.
Saying that if you have a smartphone, you may have felt the embarrassment of sending a private message to the wrong person
all the time
or having autocorrect fail at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. But some people are not even are sending messages. They're asleep. They're not even drunk.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. And they people there are texts sent from my phone at 5 a.m. I do not recall sending. Says one.
Hi.
Yeah. I should I should stop sleeping next to my phone.
Yes, you should.
That's one of the things. And then it could be like garbled messages that are more gibberish than words. You know, some people really do have like different sleep disorders where they talk in their sleep or they go to the refrigerator and eat
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but texting and sleeping, that seems to be really extreme.
Around. Yeah. But it's then they say, oh, it's maybe not sleep texting. It's half asleep texting. It's like a state of rest when the person isn't fully awake.
I don't know about this.
It's like your brain is on autopilot.
Are people, maybe if this is for people who are just texting so much, it's like second nature to them.
Yeah, they said, think about the rate at which people are texting nowadays, and most people sleep right next to their phone, so if they wake up, it's another automatic behavior.
My phone is in the next room, and I dare that shit to ring.
And they say, okay, right.
While I'm asleep.
So nobody quite knows why. You know, the thing is, it's like, how come that is like a sleep disorder now and it's not even linked to a sleeping pill or
I don't understand
else,
how
this behavior has now translated. I could say people having sex in their sleep, that's happened.
Okay. But this seems to be a very odd thing. Like what's the next form of communication that people are gonna get up and Skype in their sleep?
Yeah,
like
right.
I don't get it.
No, I don't see that. I think it's a little too complex.
Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, because what do you have to unlock your phone, go and find the person.
One of my goals with texting is just not to be very good at it. Because the moment I'm really good at it, I'm spending too much time doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always a struggle for me. Like, I'm always, it's the autocorrect is all over the place. I don't think my phone has learned a damn thing. I try not to text that much.
Yeah.
I do like to drunk text every once in a while. I find that amusing. I only drunk text you, though. I'm like, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
Then the next day, I'm like, what was that about? You're like, I don't know either. I have no idea. I'm like, but it was genius.
I'm like, you were in Vegas. I have an idea for the show.
Yeah, it is. I usually have
it's
a segment idea.
A segment idea.
Yeah. At 4 o'clock in the morning from Las Vegas. Oh, yeah. This will work real well.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. And I'm sober. And that's how.
And unpopular technology is born. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I really don't know if it's
I don't know if I'm going to go for that.
I don't know if I go for it either. I have
something here that I don't know if you're going to go for under the heading of unpopular technology. I find Katie and I are freaked out by technology.
Mm-hmm.
I try to freak her out by finding things that are bizarre.
Thanks.
And this is pretty weird. This is a headset that you is supposed to ease mental overload. So basically, these researchers at Tufts University have designed a device. It looks like a headband kind of thing. It scans your brain to see how hard it's working. And then they're hoping that one day it can act like a filter, letting information into your brain when you want it and keeping other information out. I'm so sure that they're going to be using this for nothing but mind control.
Right.
Why absolutely. Would I want to limit the information coming into my brain?
And how can you do that? What does it shut off your eyes and ears?
Here's what it does. It relies on a technique called functional near infrared spectroscopy.
Mm-hmm.
Or FNIRS, which is not even a good acronym.
Mm-hmm.
The imager detects brain activity based on the blood flow. and they use infrared sensors. So you put the headset on, an infrared beam of light goes from your forehead to the planning decision part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sees how much activity is going on.
Mm-hmm.
It monitors it. If it's a lot of information, it could tell if you're concentrating a lot, and if there's little information, if you're just not engaged at all.
Okay, then.
So matching the readings to what you're looking at allows the system to determine what's useful for you to know and what's not useful.
So they make that choice of the quality.
Yes, of the quality
of it. They say how much you're taking in and the quality of it.
How creepy is that?
How can they decide what the quality is?
I don't know. They originally developed this for air traffic controllers,
mm-hmm.
right? Because what? And I'm like, dude, if we're having that kind of problem, just get more and have shorter shifts.
Yeah.
I don't need a headband controlling someone's mind to let them know whether or not my plane is going to crash into the building
kidding.
Or not. Like, this is
and
not
And then what
appropriate.
About the people controlling that person? What do they do to filter out unnecessary
I guess
stuff?
They got to wear one, too.
And somebody else
And then someone else has to wear one. And then it's the Matrix. How bizarre is that?
I think that's scary.
They're saying that they want to use it for drivers to research the cognitive demands of new car features. So to see if people are being overloaded when they look at their dashboard.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
I just read today that somebody that wants to have streaming Netflix in your car. No.
No, it's called function fatigue.
Yeah.
When you have too much
stuff
going on. Yeah.
Marketers want to use it, of course, to measure response to product packaging and advertising.
No.
All right. They already have mannequins that can look at us. And then here's what I think it's really for. A class of people they just call workers. Determine whether you're busy and filter overwhelming rivers of information, interrupting you only when an incoming email is important. So they're gonna if we're working together, and I'm like, hey, Katie, check this out. This is really cool, and it's not related to work. You're not gonna hear anything. You're just gonna see me sitting at my desk.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
That's exactly what they just wanna. They're only gonna let you hear or process what they want you to. So if you're off task at work,
let's get back on.
You gotta get back on task. You're not gonna be able to focus on anything else. This sounds like mind control to me.
Incredibly scary.
Yeah.
This is definitely a scary world.
Functional near infrared spectroscopy.
I don't like that at all.
Nope, and it's a headband. It's the beginning of the end, people.
Yeah.
It's the lawnmower man, Matrix, and everything else all wrapped up into one end of days.
Another brick in the wall.
Yeah. How crazy is that? This is not necessary. What we need is more sleep.
And you know what else we need? If you want to put anything on your head, I would love it. And I did this in sixth grade.
A massager?
No. That's good too.
Yeah.
But they said in sixth grade, think of an invention and draw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you put a hat on your head, it has a TV screen on the top, so then people can see what you're thinking. If there's a crime.
Like a Minority Report.
Yeah.
This is getting close to that. I think that they're not telling us that there's a screen on this, but I bet there is.
Because think about your thoughts during the day.
They're monitoring your thoughts. And they're going to let you know what's important, like what you can think about and what you can't think about. This is not going to get people to work harder. They try to do all this stuff.
Well, we're providing that service here at Hey You Know It.
Yes.
We'll let you know. We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Yeah,
that's
you don't have
to
wear a silly headband, you know.
We pick a few segments, a few things. That's all you got to think about.
I feel like it's so bizarre. And they try to market this thing like, no, we're trying to help people. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sure you are.
Oof. There's nothing there that's helpful.
No, not at all. I'm doing quite fine. Let my mind wander.
Yeah.
While it can.
Right.
While it can.
So thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. And if you want a shot glass, go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We will read your review on our show and we will send you a shot glass.
Yep. Washable.
Yes. You would have to send an email to heyyouknowit@gmail.com and let us know who you are and where to send it, please.
Yeah.
That kind of helps.
Or we'll just keep it.
Yeah, and for everyone else, you can follow us on Tumblr, follow us on Twitter, and we're on Stitcher Radio. Get over there.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so he's definitely
can't afford
the A-lister.
Him,
yeah.
And he's never going to get a job if you can't make a movie with him, or you can't even get shoes.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Him.
I feel like if you do a movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, mm-hmm. you've got to have all the doors widened so he can get his gigantic head into the room. Who was this person's discount?
What was the thing that we had in the
his
last...
His hat must have been enormous in Lincoln. Oh. They must have had to have it enlarged.
That's why that was big.
Multiple times. I'm not talking tall. Oh, I'm talking about circumference.